Hello and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast, episode 2. Hello, Ben.
We made it.
We have made it.
Episode 2.
Only just, because we're recording this in your house, Ben.
Yeah.
This is only episode 2, so I've been to your house to record twice.
That's right.
And twice now, the journey to your house has cost something on my car.
Twice?
I think coming to your house is proving to be a bit of an omen for my poor old Polo.
Oh dear.
So when we recorded the first one, as I left here, I thought something had gone wrong with the car because my window had stopped working. My electric window had stopped working.
Okay, well that's not a massive problem.
So that's I can't open my window anymore. So that's broken.
Oh, you've not managed to fix it?
No. It's done, I think.
Okay.
And then today, just as I got in the car to come to you, I just put a bit of context on this. I got a bit of a rollicking off my mum and dad the other day.
What have you done?
Who made me feel like a child. I'm 42 and I got told off, right?
It never stops, does it?
It doesn't stop, right? So my parents came round, and as they came round, they saw my car outside.
Yeah.
And my dad said, did you realise you've got a flat tyre?
Ooh.
And I said, no, I hadn't noticed. I mean, I must say, I thought it'd been a bit sensitive of late when I've been driving.
Yeah.
And so I got this telling off about how I should notice things. And there was definitely some sarcasm in the telling off.
Really?
There was certainly a line from my mum that said, would you notice if the steering wheel wasn't there?
Ooh.
Of course I'd notice if the steering wheel wasn't there. But I don't look at the tyres every day, do I?
No, I mean, you are supposed to, I think, you know, drive with inflated tyres.
Who does, though? Who looks at their tyres every day? Boring people. People with too much time.
I hate my car. I hate checking it. I hate replacing the oil, all the stuff you've got to do. I just can't be bothered.
And then my dad says to me, and what's wrong with your seat, the driver's seat? I said, what do you mean, what's wrong with it? He said, it looks a bit out of kilter at the back. It looks like it's slanting to one side.
Well, at least the seat was in the car.
Yeah, for now.
Because you wouldn't have noticed.
So this morning, I got in the car to drive to you. The seat's moved. It's not in its normal position.
Right.
So I went to do the little adjusting thing at the side.
Yeah.
And basically the seat fell backwards. I fell backwards with it.
Oh dear.
And now the seat won't come back to its anywhere near its proper position. And it's sort of askew now. So it's sort of sitting, I would say, a sort of 45 degree angle,
right?
The seat, and it's highly uncomfortable to drive, probably very unsafe.
So you're sitting with your legs facing the road in front of you,
yeah,
and you're sort of looking out the window.
Well, what I'm having to do is sit my I probably shouldn't say this because this is probably highly illegal.
It doesn't sound legal or safe.
The only contact my body is having with the seat is basically my right shoulder, because the rest of the seat is back. So I can't sit back against the back of the seat because I wouldn't be driving properly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So if you were sitting in your natural position,
yeah,
you could be pulled over for curb crawling. You look like you're just constantly looking out the window.
If I was to sit back and get full contact with my back onto the back of the seat,
yeah,
it would just look like I'm very chilled out,
very relaxed.
You know, just and you know, my arms would be full length to the steering wheel, and I'd just be laying back. I mean, maybe that's the police would see that and go, "He's that's what I want to be."
Yeah, oh yeah, because they're famously reasonable.
And then the scary thing was this morning, I started worrying about it because twice I had police behind me this
really?
Morning, and I was half expecting to be pulled over. But I wasn't.
And not to mention, it's quite a long journey. I'm worried about the damage to your spine.
It's about... Well, I've got a feeling that I'm becoming humped.
Humped. Oh, dear.
So I'm a bit concerned about how long we can continue this podcast.
Right.
If every time I come here to record, something else goes wrong with the car.
Yeah, it's a long walk.
Yeah, I mean, there are trains.
There are trains.
I mean, I know. And also, because you live, you know, for people that don't know, you live out in the sticks.
I do.
In England. So I'm sort of in the suburb of Croydon, South London, and you're out in East Grinstead. And I mean, it took me an age to get to you this morning because I got stuck behind a horse box.
Oh, you got to watch that. That happens a lot.
The horse box, mate. There's come on. I know this. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It could be worse. I've been stuck behind tractors before. That
tractors,
takes ages.
I mean, you shouldn't be living somewhere where there's tractors at your age.
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Your tractor environments are for when you're in your sort of 60s and 70s.
Yeah, but it's a lot safer than Croydon.
Well, that's very true. So coming up in the Trev and Ben podcast, we're going to be joined by a very good friend of mine who's got some very interesting things to say about our sort of topic today, which is petty revenge.
I love petty revenge.
Because this week I carried out my own little act of petty revenge.
Did you?
Yeah. And I did feel quite a lot better after that.
Good.
News headlines that have taken our eye this week.
Yeah, I've had a couple of very strange news alerts on my phone, and I just wanted to run them by you, really.
Okay, all right. And also, I've decided we're going to call it Age Rage.
Age Rage.
Age Rage, where we talk about things that annoy you as you get older.
Okay.
And we will talk about that because a couple of things are really getting to me.
Okay.
Again. I mean, I am just a miserable sod these days.
You are becoming one.
What do you mean becoming?
Well, yeah. So a couple of times this week, my phone has been pinging to say, oh, breaking news. And, you know, it's usually the death of a celebrity.
Yeah, or recently Brexit.
Or something Brexity.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I've had a couple of really odd ones this week that have made me think that something's going on with my phone. It's giving me the most bizarre news.
Okay.
So,
do you think this is like, you know, because of, I don't know, Cambridge Analytica? It's it's looking at what you're searching online and it's thinking, well, he's going to be interested in this bit of breaking news.
I don't know, but that is a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It could be. So the news sources are quite, you know, important sources. It's the Telegraph and it's Sky News.
Right, okay.
So I'll let you read the first thing. This was breaking news that popped up on my phone.
Okay,
there we go.
So this is from the Telegraph. When good neighbours become good friends, Jason Donovan extinguishes blaze at £21.5 million mansion at 4 a.m. in his underpants.
Why?
Is that... Well, he's a good neighbour.
He is a good neighbour.
And good on him for getting out in his pants and putting out a fire. But is that really breaking news?
I don't understand why Jason Donovan thought he was the man at 4 a.m. in his pants to rescue this house from, or this mansion, I should say, from a blaze.
Well, I mean, there are people
that do this.
But wouldn't you... But you know, you don't know how long you might have to wait. There could have been people in there that needed help. And would you just sit back and think, well, I won't help.
I mean, he's a hero.
He is a hero.
In his pants.
I mean, I wouldn't approach a fire in my pants.
Neither would I.
I would certainly put on, even if it's just a bit of outer, although perhaps it's a good move. I mean, if you're wearing the wrong sort of material and you get too near heat, it could melt onto your skin. He might have actually made the... Perhaps he took his clothing off. He may have been wearing a shell suit, some sort of polyester...
Tracksuit, yes.
You know, and he thought, well, I daren't go near a heat source wearing these clothes because I will be forever wearing them. They will just melt into my skin.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll strip down to my my underwear.
So, I mean, while being a very odd story, I can see how that's newsworthy. It's interesting.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't put that as breaking news. But this is what's wrong with the sort of rolling news thing.
Yeah.
It's like everything's breaking news, and it's not... Breaking news should be there for, like, the big things. Like, when I was a kid, we didn't have News 24 and all that. You know, I could see in your face where this was headed. Oh, you didn't even have television.
No, I'm not saying anything.
But, you know, when there was a news flash on the television, it was because something really major had happened. Princess Diana had died. That's breaking news.
Yes.
Yeah, that's big. The fact that Jason Donovan's in his pants...
Putting out a fire.
All right, yeah. But why put in the detail that he's in his pants? Because that's what they are looking at as the story there.
Yeah, that is true.
Because if it was just Jason Donovan extinguishes fire at £21.5 million mansion... fine.
Yeah.
In the breaking news bit, and they can add that detail when you read the report, but that's in the breaking news bit that he's in his pants. That's not worthy of breaking news.
Now, for the second story, I'll admit I haven't read the story because I suspect once you dig into the story, it's probably quite boring.
Okay.
But the breaking news that popped up from this one from Sky News, I think... is just baffling.
Okay, well, this is Sky News. Sky, so of course, News. We'll put anything up as breaking news.
Here I see you've read the first word already.
Yeah, which is... right. Dracula is stepping aside as Europe's top banker. Will his successor have any teeth? Ian King's Sky Views. Again, is this breaking news?
I mean, I didn't think Dracula actually existed, let alone the fact he's stepping aside as Europe's top banker.
The thing is, it is in sort of inverted commas, so I'm assuming that it's someone who's just known as Dracula.
Mm.
But again, everyday people, like you and me, and I'd like to think that we are pretty up with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Europe's top banker known as Dracula?
I haven't.
So give me his full name.
Yeah.
I don't know who Dracula is. All I'm thinking now is the Transylvanian count.
And it's quite disrespectful. I mean, if he is someone, you know, a bit like the Arsenal manager Unai Emery. Who has a slight Dracula resemblance.
Or the old tennis player Ray Reardon.
Yeah. Isn't he a snooker player?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
He was naff at tennis.
Yeah. He decided that a racket wasn't really his thing.
So, I mean, you'd think Europe's top banker should get a bit more dignity, a proper name check, not just calling him Dracula.
Well, yeah, it's ludicrous. And again, it's not really breaking
it. It's not.
It drives me insane.
So those were my two weird stories breaking in the news.
Okay, well, mine wasn't a breaking story, but mine was just something I saw on one of the newspaper's websites, The Mirror. And I must admit, I don't go on to these newspaper websites as much as I used to when we were doing the radio show. So I don't get to see so many of the pointless, ludicrous stories that they peddle as news.
Now, before we get into this, can I ask how many typos were in this?
I haven't really taken note of that.
Right, because it's usually littered with them.
Yes, yeah. Now, first of all, is this story newsworthy? That's okay. The first question.
I'll be the judge.
And the second bit, perhaps I will get you to read the headline.
Okay.
Because there are two bits of information in this headline, and I'm not quite sure how these two bits of information can possibly be related or even put into a sentence that makes you think they are related.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the headline.
Okay. The headline is Paul McCartney spotted spitting in the street amid Glastonbury rumours.
Yes. Now, is he spitting in the street because of the Glastonbury? I mean, what is the relevance of the Glastonbury rumour to him spitting in the street?
No, you're right. They are two completely different and unconnected events.
You know, if the headline is Paul McCartney might be at Glastonbury, fine, there's a story.
Yep.
If the story is Paul McCartney spits in street,
you'd think it was a slow news day.
But yeah, not much of a story.
Yeah.
But to put the two together, Paul McCartney spits in street amid Glastonbury rumours. I mean,
it's almost to suggest he's so enraged by the Glastonbury rumours, he's taken to gobbing in the street.
Or it's a celebratory gob. I mean,
do people spit when they're celebrating?
Round my way, people seem to spit for any reason at all. I mean, I'm dead against spitting in the street, full stop. I don't enjoy that. And I'm very disappointed with Paul McCartney for doing that. He's gone down in my estimation in a week where Abbey Road has gone back to number one 50 years on from it. Maybe he was spitting in celebration of that.
Can I check with you? Is spitting in the street completely wrong? As you can probably hear a little bit in my voice, I'm still getting over a bit of a nasty cold.
Yeah.
And I have been gobbing all over the place recently.
Well, it's out of order.
I'm not proud of it.
Spit into a tissue.
But
because all you're doing is spreading it. You are basically a virus.
But I don't often have tissues on me.
Well, what? Didn't your mother ever teach you don't go out without a tissue? Have one rolled up your sleeve, couple in your pockets? I mean, it's disgusting, Ben. I'm so disappointed in you.
So not even being ill was a get-out-of-jail-free card?
No, the only time I might, and I'm not even sure that I even would allow this, but the only time I might let you off is if you're running a marathon.
Okay.
Because, you know, exertion, if you've done any sort of major sporting thing or physical exercise, there are some times where you just need to release that. But I still wouldn't like to do that in the street. I don't like it.
So I guess you're going to be horrified to learn that I've not just been spitting. I've been so dripping with mucus and cold.
You haven't been doing the whole nostril blow.
I've been doing the Premier League footballer
Ben,
nasal rocket. Yeah.
That is just vile.
It's quite satisfying, though, when you're full of catarrh and horrible stuff and you just put one finger on one nostril and just
disgusting.
Explode out of the other one.
So when some poor blind lady treads in your snot and mucus and then goes home, treads it all into a carpet and breathes all that in and then dies of pneumonia, I hope you feel guilty. Well, this is what I'm saying is that you could start a chain reaction to some poor old lady, or imagine a little child, bearing in mind that diseases like hepatitis stay alive outside the body for up to 20 minutes, I believe. I'm not saying you've got hepatitis.
But to make that clear, I've got a cold.
But I'm just making you aware of the medical dangers that you're exposing the general public to. Because the thing is, I am spending a lot of time at home at the moment since losing my job.
Yeah.
So I'm at home a lot, and I notice a lot of people spit in my front garden.
Hang on a minute. Do you mean you notice it from your front garden, or a lot of people are spitting into my
front garden? And it's a trend that I'm not enjoying. I see people go by, and particularly if I've got the window open, I hear it. I hear, and then I just see them walk by, and it.
Now,
it's disgusting.
Are you not very well liked in your road? Why are people specifically spitting in your garden?
I would imagine that the amount of spitting that goes on in my area, that every front garden is subjected to it.
No, I mean,
are you suggesting
as a self-admitted street spitter for this week anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy to spit in the street if I'm coldy and not very well.
Don't be happy to spit. I want to see this ended.
But I would never spit deliberately into someone's front garden. The street, the pavement, that's one thing. Into your front garden, that's really rude.
It is really rude, and I'm getting really annoyed. It's beginning to... I even went through this whole scenario in my head the other day where I might put up a little sign, but of course, that's just going to invite...
It's going to be a target, isn't it?
But it's really... Because I'm beginning to get very possessive and defensive about my front garden.
Really?
I'm recently getting very annoyed by people just using my bin at random.
That shouldn't happen either.
I mean, there's been a serial banana skin offender.
Has there?
Yeah, for about 3 weeks running, I've gone out and I've got three bins in my front garden, all the recycling and all that, and there's one, and 3 weeks running, there's been a banana skin just plonked on the side, not even in the bin. And it's not even the right bin, because that's the bottle one. It's not even in the right bin. And I've moved the bins now so that, because that one didn't have a lid on. So right. I think it was sort of inviting.
Okay.
And I'm sort of torn, really, because I'd rather that than just drop it on the street.
It's biodegradable.
So I don't mind too much. But what I did object to the other day was a man stopping outside my house, emptying his pockets of all his rubbish into my bin.
Mm.
And I was getting really annoyed.
Yeah, I think you're being targeted for something. I don't know what you've done.
I haven't done anything. I barely leave the house. I don't talk to anyone. Who am I upsetting?
I don't know, but someone.
It's out of order. It's out of order. So, look, that aside, I want a pledge from you here and now.
Yeah.
To stop spitting in the street. But,
like because, I say, it's not a habit. While I'm not very well, I'm a bit mucousy.
It's not good enough. It's not good. Because the other day, all right, I had to go to the little shop around the corner, and I don't know why. Because it doesn't make any difference, but I'm going to say it does. It's even worse when it's a woman. I don't know why it seems
that's
that
sexist.
Way. It is sexist, but when I see a woman, it's like, oh, like a bloke, it's still horrible, but it's like blokes are just disgusting in general. We are disgusting human beings. We'll pick this up with our guest later, because it's a woman. So we'll ask her later.
We've got a real-life woman.
We've got a real-life woman instead of an inflatable one. And I'm going to ask her about this, but I think it's even more disgusting. So I walked around, and there was a woman standing outside the shop, just flobbing all over the
flobbing.
Place. As if, yeah, because it was proper phlegmy.
Yeah.
So it was probably similar to what you've been exposing the nation to.
Oh, it's vile.
And I basically had to sort of traverse this obstacle course of phlegm before I could get into the shop. And it's just disgusting.
Okay, listen, I'll try and do better.
Stop this try business.
No, because I'd rather do it on the pavement than have it this sort of soggy rag in my pocket filled with disease and...
Then bring it home, flush it down the toilet.
Bring it home.
I mean, honestly, it's out of order, mate, and I don't know if it's forgivable. Right, time to meet our guest on episode 2 of the Trev and Ben podcast.
And who have we got this week?
Well, the thing about us, so particularly over the last, well, how long have we been doing stuff together?
Oh, years now.
And it's always been a little bit blokey, really, isn't it?
A bit.
So I thought it's time to redress the balance.
Okay.
And maybe have a female guest.
Right.
So I've basically got an old friend of mine, and the last time I checked, she was definitely a woman. When I say the last time I checked, I mean, you know... From a distance.
You're blushing.
Yeah. You are definitely a woman, aren't you, Crystal?
Well, again, last time I looked, I confirmed that it was that way.
When was the last time you looked?
Well, I can see myself right now. So, yeah, I'm definitely a woman.
I mean, I've got you on webcam. I didn't realise it was this sort of webcam. I was like, how much are you charging me per minute for this?
Well, I'll let you know, love.
And the reason we don't normally talk to women becomes clear.
Yeah, normally they've hung up by now.
Yeah, long ago.
But
you haven't just chosen a woman. You've chosen a feminist. So, right. You know, you're really plumping for the big guns on this pod.
Right, okay. Now, I think for full disclosure, I should say that Crystal and I have known each other for about 25 years.
Yep.
So, Crystal, I want to ask you, well, I don't need to ask you because I know the answer to this because I've known you for so long, but are you vengeful?
What would you say?
The fact that you're not with us and we're actually doing this on Skype is that, yes, you are. If we were in the same room, the answer might be a little bit different. No, not at all.
Well, I've been known to be quite vengeful, but I try and do it in the nicest possible way.
Right, okay. Because I carried out my own little act of petty vengeance this week. So I've been, as I said earlier, I've been home a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to keep harping on about it, but no. since losing my job, I've been home a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And being at home is really irritating, particularly in the mornings, because what I've noticed is the mornings I get a lot of cold calls.
Mm.
And I don't really know why I get so many, how they got my number. It drives me insane. Absolutely insane. So what I've started to do is I used to just ignore it. If I didn't recognise a number, just ignore it. But it's happening so often, I can't bear the phone ringing.
Okay.
Because they just it rings and rings.
Well, it does that until you answer it.
Yeah, but why can't they give up? Like, surely after three or four rings, they'd kind of go, that's plenty. That's
well, they're enough. Not hanging on the other end. They're waiting for it to be answered, and then it clicks through to them.
Well, this is what I'm learning, you see.
Okay, right.
So what I've started to do is have my computer all ready, and I line up sound effects and things.
Oh, you should record this.
So that when I pick up the phone, I just put it to the speaker and I start playing screams and any kind of noises that would really put the other person really ill at ease.
Yeah.
So I had one this week where they kept ringing. It was the same number. You pick it up, it's like, hello, there's no one there, and it hangs up.
Yeah.
So when it finally rang up, I lined up all these sound effects of gunshots.
Wow. You need to get another job fast.
So when they rang, I just picked up the phone, put it on the speaker, and just play all this gunfire at them. And of course, I was hoping that they'd stay on the phone and would be screaming and shouting. And then when I picked up the phone, they'd hung up. So it was a petty act of vengeance, but it didn't really get me anywhere.
No, I like it though.
But I felt better for it, Crystal.
Yes, psychoanalyze that one. Mm.
Okay. So I want to know, like, how do you feel about vengeance?
What do they say? Revenge is a dish best served cold?
Which I've never quite understood.
No.
Does it mean give some time between the event that you want to avenge and your act of vengeance?
Yes, but also I think it can be, if you revenge in anger.
Yeah.
Get a little bit nasty and you feel just as bad as everyone else. But if you plan it, which you obviously did, the revenge can be sweet.
I see. Right, okay.
So have you ever carried out your own little petty act of revenge? We've already established that you're a vengeful person, and I would imagine that you would be someone that would plan it meticulously as well.
I must admit that I've had some dealing with some delightful people recently, and I have plotted in my head the things that I could do. I've decided to leave it because it will just make me as bad as them.
No, but what I'm interested in here, Crystal, is what are the things that don't obviously give names or anything, but what are the things that are going through your head? Because we all do this.
Yeah.
You know, you all go to the extreme. So you know, with the phone call thing, my extreme thing would be to go and find where the call centre is and go in and find the person who keeps ringing me and rip their tongue out. I mean, it's quite extreme. I'm not going to do it. But those are the sort of things. So what goes through your head? What's your first port of call? Is it physical violence?
No, because I would always lose. But on behalf of someone else, yes, I would like to send my son and let him loose on them in one of his Hulk moods.
Right.
Now that would be good. I know my son, when he thinks of revenge, he thinks of violence.
Does he?
I'm more calculated. I like to I like to plan and be nasty.
I mean, okay, so when you say nasty, what are we talking here?
Well, like ring up the tax office and slip them an invoice that I know about.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay.
You know, or report a car with no MOT.
Right. So what we're talking here is not just one act that makes you feel better. We're talking about bringing them down. You're destroying their very being.
I want them to pay.
And I get the impression you're quite anonymous with it. Like, you're quite happy to get the revenge and them never know it was you that stitched them up.
Yes, because I do very public. I'm a public Church of England minister. So, you know, obviously.
I mean, turn the other cheek.
I on the face of it, I have to practice what I preach. But it doesn't stop me thinking of what I'd like to do.
Right, okay.
Wow, we've got a little insight into the religious folk, haven't we?
We have, you know, now.
The external piety that we see is actually hiding this violent streak in these. But the Archbishop of Canterbury sits there planning.
Just plotting and scheming.
Yeah. So I'll bring them down. And then he goes out, oh, bless you all.
It's interesting when you see firsthand how members of the clergy do handle situations that are quite nasty, and you know, their inside feelings quite doesn't match up with their external manner.
I mean, I didn't sort of expect us to get into a theological debate, but I mean, surely the whole purpose of going into that sort of calling is to give the message of peace and love and harmony.
Yes, but the difference is, and I'm going to get on my soapbox now, is that actually then they can practice what they preach, because then they have to do it.
Right.
You have to. Then you can speak from a place of personal experience.
Ben, are you a vengeful person?
I think I'm a bit like Crystal. I tend to plot and scheme. And what's that French expression? Is it esprit d'escalier or something like that?
I think that's snails.
No. That thing where you have the sort of...
tasted quite nice.
The thought as you're walking away from something, that what you would have said or what you would have done.
I didn't know there was a French phrase for that.
It's something like the spirit of the stairs or something like that. Yeah,
spirit of the stairs.
Esprit d'escalier or something like that, where you're walking away and you always think of the perfect thing to say too late.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like to, after the event, plot and scheme and then think of all the things I could do to them or would have done or should have done, but I never actually do anything.
Wow, okay. So have you, what's the worst act of vengeance, Crystal, that you've ever carried out?
Well, I can only think of one. When I applied my mind to it, it was something my mum did.
Okay.
And it's concerning me. So when my son was 3 or 4, we took him to a big farm, one of these kiddies' farms. And my son's quite friendly. And this kid was being horrible to my son, really horrible. Now, as mums, you all sort of smile at each other, and underneath you're thinking, you little so-and-so, about the other kids. So I was thinking this about my friend's child who has been horrible to my son. Well, unbeknownst to me, my mum had also spotted this. And I just saw from a distance this kid standing, this offending kid, standing next to my mum. And she looked down and she looked up at me and just slowly started squashing him against the wall.
Hang on.
Wait a second.
Do you want to go any further? I mean, this sounds like attempted murder. Are you sure you want to go forward with this?
I honestly thought it could turn into something quite... But you see, my mum is like me. She's clever. She's smart. She does it with a smile on her face. So
people say that about Hitler.
She sounds like a psychopath.
And my mum's a larger lady.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a case of someone small, you know, pinning a kid up against the wall. This is my mum. It sort of gradually looked the other way and slowly started shuffling. So this kid was caught between my mum's legs and the wall.
And she's grinning all the time. Yeah. She's doing it.
Exactly.
Right.
And then she looks around and goes, oh, I am sorry.
And how damaged was this child?
Well, the kid had like a funny face afterwards.
What? She disfigured his face.
No, I'm joking. But the kid did get actually squashed. I watched her squash a kid against the wall and then suddenly realised he was there, let him go, and he ran off to his mum.
I mean, how plausible is that? That you were pinning a small child to a wall with your legs and didn't know about it?
She did know all about it.
It's not going to be the best excuse, is it?
That was a spectacular, sweet old lady act of revenge.
Well done.
It doesn't sound like a sweet old lady act of revenge. It sounds like a sort of medieval torture when those walls would close in. You know, like an Indiana Jones or something. Yeah. Walls would close in on you. That's what it sounds like. Slowly crushing every ounce of breath from your lungs of a four-year-old.
Well, you've obviously seen her in action.
How old was the offending child, just for context?
Four years old.
Four.
But mum did it not only with a smile on her face, but with a cheeky smile on her face. So it's as if to say, ha ha, you can't get my grandson because I'm just going to squash you against the wall.
I'm lost for words.
I think the police, Esther Ranson, NSPCC, we get them all involved here.
And we still laugh about it now. In fact, every time we went past that, it was like a little bus shelter. We still laugh about it.
We still laugh about injuring a four-year-old child. It's kept us laughing for years.
But it was
the best bit was when he went purple.
Yeah,
I loved that bit.
Do you remember how bent out of shape his face was?
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that bit when he fell unconscious? Oh,
it's the way she turned around and went, oh, I'm sorry, knowing full well what she did.
What was the reaction of the child's mother when it ran off gasping for air?
I didn't speak to her again.
I'm not surprised.
So I'm not as cruel as my mother in that aspect, but my revenge tends to be much more undercover and incognito, as opposed to squashing children against the wall in revenge for hitting her grandson.
So we started off by talking about getting revenge on people phoning me. That was my little act of revenge.
Yeah.
The people that I think deserve perhaps more acts of vengeance against them are the scammers, the online scammers.
Speaking of that, my mum got scammed by someone.
Oh, God, God. I mean, they're done. I mean, if she's squashing a four-year-old against a wall, what's she going to do with a full-grown scammer?
Wow.
Unfortunately, she fell for it. And as she was online with them, because they connect you online, they took out a loan in her name for £2,000. The money got deposited into a bank, and they were literally forcing her to transfer the money back to them. Wow. So that she very nearly lost £2,000. But what was scary is that while she was online to them, they took out a loan and it got approved within sort of 10 minutes.
Well, you're like this. You're like this because I saw this thing. A guy basically got his own back and he didn't get much money out of it. So he received an email, as we all have, and it was, "Hello, friend. Pleased to be with you." It's a nice, friendly opening, isn't it?
Very welcoming.
"I know this email will come to a surprise to you, but permit me to desire to go into business with you. My name is Solomon and I'm a big business banker looking to go into business with fellow enthusiastic businessman.
Okay.
I want you to invest £1,000 in my company for exchange for half the business." It sounds a good deal already.
Yeah.
It says, "My business is all about trading stocks. Last week, I made the small sum of £35,000. So you may wonder why I need £1,000 when I've just earned £35,000. It's a good question to ask.
Yep.
Yeah.
"I want to teach young business people my knowledge, which comes at a fair price. If you send me a PayPal transfer of £1,000, we can begin immediately and become rich. Kind regards, Solomon." Solomon sounds like the man you want to be in business with.
Yeah.
It's going to make you a lot of money very quickly.
Well, the whole thing, especially the fact that he said you were young.
Well, anyway, the man who got this email, he thought, okay, this is obviously a scam. Saw right through it. I mean, it's difficult to know you can see through that because it all seems so genuine, doesn't it?
I was going to ask you to send me the email.
So this guy, he replied to the man and said, basically, asking for £1,000 was an insult. So he was going to offer £50,000 to Solomon because He was a very enthusiastic businessman and basically ticked all the boxes as far as Solomon was concerned. So he mocked up a PayPal transfer of £50,000 to Solomon's bank account. Of course, Solomon must have got very excited when he saw that. He must have thought, God, all Christmas and birthday come at once here. He basically then emailed the guy back and said, I see you've transferred £50,000 into my account, but I can't access it. So the guy who'd noticed the scam said, oh, now what you need to do is send me £25 to unfreeze the assets. So he got the scammer to send him £25.
That is clever.
Which he then donated to a cancer charity and got the cancer charity to send the email of thanks for the donation to Solomon. Wonderful.
That's brilliant.
That is revenge.
That is proper revenge and for a good cause. And you can just imagine poor old Solomon at the end of this whole encounter. Would he be thinking, well, at least I've given £25 to a good cause?
Probably not. But I mean, I like that story of revenge. There was someone out scamming a scammer. That's nice.
Yeah.
There was a good ending. He got 25 quid and it went to charity. No children were crushed against a wall.
Which is a bonus.
It was brilliant.
Now, Crystal, one very quick thing that we need to talk about is earlier on in the podcast, Ben and I were talking about spitting. And Ben confessed to me that because he's had a cold of late, and he suggests that he only does this when he's got a cold.
I do.
He's been spitting with gay abandon all over the place. And not just spitting, but doing the whole nostril snot thing, right? Now, first of all, your thoughts on that?
There's absolutely no reason whatsoever in this world to ever do that in public at all. There is no excuses. Absolutely no. It's disgusting.
I do make sure I'm not doing it while I'm walking past someone in the street. If I'm alone walking down a street, I might just have a quick, you know, demucus.
It's vile.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Right.
But there was something I wanted to run by you because you've made your feelings quite clear on that. But Trev, I thought a bit sexistly.
Wasn't sexist.
He suggested that women doing it was worse than men.
No, I hear that because, you know, we are the weaker sex.
I never said that. Can I just make that? I just want to make it very clear that I didn't say that.
No, I mean, there's that whole thing of being unladylike, isn't there? If you're a lady, there's certain things you don't do, like fart or sweat. A woman glows and a woman passes wind. Is it worse? No, I think it's equal.
It's equal.
Equally bad for men and women.
I mean, I wasn't defending men that spit, by the way. I just think it's just something that's inbuilt in your mind. If you see a woman doing it, it's slightly more shocking.
No, because I see it a lot.
What, women doing it?
Yeah, when you walk around markets and...
Your mum's probably spitting at children as they go by.
Older ladies, you know, that don't care anymore.
Well, there's a question. I mean, we're going to come on to talk about age in a minute, but does age have something? Like, if you see an old person spit, is that slightly more forgivable because it's an old person?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's been brought upright if they're doing that sort of thing.
Quite
generally.
Right. I would like Quite to defend right. myself. I wouldn't normally do it. I've just been dripping with illness this week, and it's just helped relieve the pressure.
That's what tissues are for. That's what handkerchiefs are for.
I don't want to keep some soggy, mucus-ridden cloth in my pocket.
We've had this argument. Have some tissues.
Catch it, bin it.
Say that again.
Catch it, bin it.
There you go. Famous old advertising slogan, that.
Mm.
Catch it, bin it. Find a bin to put it in.
No, I don't want to. It's just so much easier.
It reminds me of that sketch with Rowan Atkinson, of him in the church with doing the same thing and putting his wet handkerchief away and it all gets... Do you remember that sketch?
Isn't that... it's from Mr. Bean, right?
That's a Mr. Bean sketch, yeah, where he... Yeah, unloads into his handkerchief and then it ends up everywhere. Yeah.
Well, you just completely described why I don't want to keep a handkerchief.
Well, no, I think handkerchiefs are... I'm not a proponent of a handkerchief. No. I don't like a bit of fabric that needs washing. Do you know what I mean? But tissues, I mean, just get a bit of bog roll before you leave the house. That's what I do. Bit of bog roll, each pocket, bit of bog roll, sorted.
All right, I've been suitably chastised. I promise you both I will not do it again.
Thank you.
Otherwise, Crystal's mum's getting on to you. Time for the bit of the podcast, which I think we're calling age rage.
Okay.
And it's things that no matter what age you are, you could be in your 20s, you could be in your 90s, but there are things as you progress through life that I think bug you more and more the older you get.
Right.
So for me, what I'm finding in particular is noise. I'm becoming so intolerant to noise. So the other night, right, I started a new adventure in my life. One I'm not sure will continue because I got so irate while I was there. I went to a meeting. This might sound really dull when I say this out loud, and I'm waiting for Ben's response here.
What have you been up to?
I went to a meeting of the Croydon Astronomical Society.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm fascinated by astronomy. We'll be talking about this in a future podcast, okay, by the way. But I went, and I sort of went with a thought, perhaps this is where I could meet the future Mrs. Trev.
I can only imagine the type of people you met.
And you're probably very right.
Yeah.
But they're all, I mean, I was pretty much the youngest person there apart from some poor toddler that had been brought along. The talks were fascinating, well over my head, by the way.
Right.
I mean, there was one on gravitational waves.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty much my response after an hour lecture on it. What was doing my head in was this room was just, I mean, I worked in a school for 7 years, right, working with children from the age of 5 up to 11. And it used to do my head in that children couldn't sit still. But then I kind of came to the realisation that if you're dealing with children who are in year 2, so they are, what, 6 or 7, of course they're not going to sit still. They're children, okay? But if you're in a room where the average age is probably 60-odd, why can't people sit still? I mean, the noise throughout this whole thing, people shifting chairs, there's a man counting money at the back, there's a guy talking the whole way through. Someone started snoring 10 minutes into the talk, which if you're the lecturer, I don't think that's a great endorsement of the talk.
That's quite an insult.
But it's probably indicative of the age of the people that are there.
Yes. So I enjoyed the talk, even though I didn't really understand it, but I was furious about the amount of noise that was there. It was like, I don't think I can come again because I couldn't take in what was being said because of the constant shuffling. There was a woman who, and I'm not having a go at women here.
Here we go again.
I'm listening attentively.
There was a woman there, and I don't know if it was on her bag or on her shoe. She had some sort of bell. So every time she shuffled, it sounded like an elf had walked in. Driving me absolutely insane. And then I got home and I was fuming by the time I got home. It was like bloody noise everywhere. And then I got home and someone was playing music loudly and I lost the plot. I was shouting out the window, just shut up, shut up. So noise, as I get older, I'm only 42. Imagine what I'm going to be like in 10, 20 years time. I mean, I'm basically going to have to either go deaf or just wear ear defenders the whole time.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it just drives me insane. Now, Crystal, I know you should never ask a lady their age, but I've known you long enough. How old are you?
47.
Okay.
I'm proud.
At this age, when you compare and look back at your younger days, what annoys you more now than when you say in your 20s? Or what annoys you about young people that, you know, as an old person, you think it's justifiable, but when you're 20, you think, well, go away, old person.
I think more annoys me now. I've got absolutely no filters anymore. So if somebody cheeses me off, I nearly swore there. if someone upsets me, I will say, you've upset me, or I'll tell them what for. So I found that probably nothing's really changed that annoys me, but everything annoys me.
What's the thing that really gets to you, though? I mean, on a daily basis, is it road rage?
Yeah, when I'm driving, that's the worst. And people are such idiots on the road. And, you know, I don't know whether everyone says this, but there is more traffic on the road than I've ever known. And everyone is discourteous, and you can't even let people in, and people don't let people out. I literally, as I came from church today, right, to get back for you, a bloke was on his bike turning right. He was there the whole way down the road. I could see him. Not one person in slow traffic let him go turn right. Not one person stopped. And they were moving slowly. Where is it going to get them if they stop for 1 second to let a bicycle through to turn right? There is no tolerance. And it's usually young, males and young females. They're the worst. They're the most aggressive drivers, and it makes the whole road unpleasant. And I don't hold back. I do not hold back. And now I've got my son into it. So if yesterday I was passing someone, I said, "Son, give him the finger."
Wow.
So it's passing on. And I'll tell you something else, right? I had to have a courtesy car during the week, and it was small car syndrome. People cut me up. People didn't care. It was unbelievable, because normally I drive a bigger car. In a little car, honestly, the respect just goes. I couldn't wait to get back into my big car so that I had a little bit more respect on the road. But then it doesn't take long for some little puny person to ruin it again. And there I am, back to shouting, hand gesturing, and it's all coming back. Road rage is my weakest point.
I do love the idea of encouraging your son to flip off other road users while you're in something called a courtesy car.
It's ugly.
So I'm 42, you're 47, so similar age. Ben is early 30s. Do you have a different perspective on this?
I have noticed there is definitely something to be said about, because you like to mock me for living out in the sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have noticed that when I go and visit family or go to London, the closer you get to London, the worse the driving gets. So yeah. There is definitely something in that.
And going north of the river.
Really? Yes. Really, north of the river.
Absolutely. So I think the further out you get, more into the country, the more polite and courteous people are. But I've definitely noticed that the closer you get into London, people just lose their mind. And if it starts to rain, forget it.
I try and avoid driving now, to be honest. And that's a serious point. I avoid driving. Sometimes I have to. But do you know what the difference is? Is if you go in with a different attitude, if I go out and say, right, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to let people out. I'm going to smile. I'm going to gesture nice things with my hands. Then the experience is different. So it's all got to do with me.
So there we are. That's it. Episode 2 of the Trev and Ben podcast done.
Yep, another one in the bag.
Thanks very much to Crystal for getting involved today. And if you'd like to get involved, we are on Twitter at Trev and Ben. Just send us any messages and anything you want. And don't forget to subscribe, review, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.